On this episode, we talk a recent mermaid find, an old UFO encounter, an I read it on Reddit, and an Edgegrave Dave reviews Megan. So let's get started.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm the Netman.
And that's Netman. And hopefully we have a good show for you guys today, man. Last week's show was pretty amazing, man. First off, it was the first time I did a live, Facebook Live, which was definitely an interesting experience.
Really? That was the first time we did that?
Yeah, I've never done a live before, ever.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was especially for that long, I might have tried it for like a few seconds or like a minute, 5 minutes, something like that, but I never did a full interview like that. And
that's pretty cool. I apologize. I couldn't be there, guys.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, Tony Rathman, that was amazing, man. And it was crazy too, because it really, for some of it, some of the clips that he was posting, I mean, it was almost emotional. Thinking about it, because first off, Tony Rathman, he invented Staticom, which is a device.
I listened to the yeah. I listened to the episode.
Yeah, I'm just letting everybody else know, man. He invented a device that it's like EVPs, but not really. I mean, EVPs, when you hear them, it's like you'll hear one word here, one word there. And it's kind of hard to understand what they're saying. And with this device, I mean, you heard full sentences happening. And not only that, but not only did you hear full sentences, but you heard like inflections in people's voices almost. I mean, I've never heard that before on anything.
That really is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Especially when
you're going to catch on real fast. People are going to start using this like crazy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he hasn't produced them yet. But, he hasn't made any more. He just has his one. But it's definitely going to be a big thing, man. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, there was one sound clip where he was talking to somebody. He was talking to a spirit. And he asked the spirit, can you say Staticom? And then the spirit said it, but he didn't hear the spirit say it, right? He was just like, oh, well, I guess if you're not going to say it, then, we'll ask you to say something else. He didn't hear the spirit say Staticom, So he was just like, oh, well, I guess if you're not going to say that, then, whatever. And then you heard the spirit say, he's got to listen. I don't understand why he didn't hear me type thing. Like,
really?
Like the spirit. Yeah. Like it was weird. And then another thing, a spirit was communicating with him. And then there was another spirit also in the room, and the other spirits started to talk. And then the first spirit says like, be quiet. He hears me. I'm trying to talk to him.
Wow. That's
so it's just crazy because it's like real life conversations going on, and I've never heard that before with anything. I mean, it was kind of emotional because you figure, you say to yourself, like, man, so there really must be something going on, and people really can like keep their own personalities, like it was just, it was really, really incredible. I mean, if you guys haven't heard that show yet, you better go and check it out. I would actually suggest it, for you guys to check it out on the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, YouTube. The video of it, because under the live section, because it has the subtitles, the transcript of what the spirits are saying, so it's a little bit better to understand it, because when we put it over into the audio, it compresses everything and you can't really hear exactly what they're saying so well, so it's not going to sound as impressive if you just listen to it. you should really watch the video. And plus, you know, go to the YouTube channel, yes, and subscribe, man.
Shameless.
You know, we have a lot of stuff there, and I have a lot more ideas for some shorts and stuff like that. So I'm going to be putting that up pretty soon too. And yeah, so definitely do that, guys. But yeah, like I said, we have a great show. You know, Edgegrave Dave is reviewing Megan. I know it's an old one. I know it's an old movie, but not everybody's seen it, you know? And that's why we do these older reviews also.
And you know what? This is going to get you guys all pumped because there is a Megan 2 coming out.
That's right. Megan 2.0. That, you know, that's definitely cool.
Yep,
my kids are excited about it because they enjoyed Megan. I wanted to give them, you know, one of the newer, I wanted to give them, you know, I wanted to show them a horror movie. And I'm like, well, you know, this isn't the 80s anymore. So we can't really, I can't really sit them down and let them watch Nightmare on Elm Street because then they'll never sleep for like a month. So,
no.
You know, so I'm like, you know what? Megan is probably
a good classic.
One. You know, Megan is probably a good one to show. So they enjoyed it. Yeah, they really liked it. In fact, my 11-year-old had dressed up as Megan for Halloween last year. So
that's right. I remember seeing pictures.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And she looked like it too, which is cool. But yeah, man. So let's get started here. Let's get started. So the first thing we're going to talk about here is some out of this world news.
Out of this world news.
This actually happened. This is October 25th, 1962. And it was a day marked by high stakes tension as the world stood on the brink of nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis is at its peak, right? And the U.S. forces are on high alert. And the Navy is conducting a test of its cutting-edge missile technology. And then they see an orb. It was a white, otherworldly sphere spotted in the sky. And it was unlike anything anybody's ever seen before. According to the late Harold Malmgren, who was a top advisor to JFK and a trusted confidant in the White House, this wasn't just an unusual sighting. This orb, as he described it, was a UFO, or as he called them, tag-alongs. Malgram had revealed details to his daughter, Dr. Pippa Malgren, before his passing, shedding light on a long-kept secret. So during the missile test, the Navy successfully disabled the orb using an experimental X-ray missile, a technology well ahead of its time. Once neutralized, the mysterious object was retrieved from the ocean. So they pretty much shot this thing down, you know, this UFO.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it was retrieved from the ocean in an operation shrouded in the utmost secrecy. What was it? And where did it come from? You know, these questions, unfortunately, still remain unanswered. Dr. Malgren recently shared this incredible story about her father, sparking debates among UFO enthusiasts and historians. Her father's firsthand account suggests that such encounters may not have been isolated incidents. So that's why he was calling them tag-alongs. So being the fact that he had like a word for them, this must be a common thing.
Is there going to be like other things? Like they found other, you know, of these objects in other areas? Or is this the only one they have? Because if it's not isolated incidents, that means they know about other incidences that's similar to it.
I'm sure there's others, man. I mean, all this stuff is supposedly, hopefully coming out pretty soon, you know, with all the disclosure and stuff going on. And that was one of the things that was promised about disclosure coming up is, you know, the UFO stuff. So hopefully a lot more stuff comes out, you know. But yeah, it's cool. And, you know, this resurfaced because, you know, unfortunately the father had passed away and, you know, his daughter wanted to bring this to light. So, you know, that's, gotcha. It's pretty amazing, man. And I'm sure we're going to probably find out a hell of a lot more too coming out, you know, especially with the JFK stuff and all that. So, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah.
Cause you know, like I always said, you know, I believe that there are aliens and stuff like that. I've never seen a UFO, but I believe that stuff is out there and that stuff is around. But, you know, they're not here to destroy us because they would have did that already. You know, they're not going to wait 50 years for us to know about them and then destroy us, you know. But at least that's how I see it. But yeah, man. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is interesting. Especially if it's not isolated. Yeah. There's more than one sighting of this.
Right. And the fact that they shot this thing down, that they got this thing down. So I wonder where it is, you know. It's got to be somewhere, right? They got to be keeping it somewhere.
Area 51.
That's quite a possibility. And I'm sure Area 51 isn't the only area with these things either. You know, there's probably tons joking. Of them that we just have no idea about, you know. But let's talk about this other thing now, Nat. So there's recently been a mermaid sighting.
That's cool. I've been waiting for this one.
Yeah. So in March of 2025, which is, hey, it's this month. Or, you know, if you're listening to this in April, I guess it would be last month. But it was this year, okay? And an extraordinary discovery on Margate Gate Beach in Kent captured public attention and reignited debates surrounding mythology and modern art. A British couple uncovered what appeared to be a skeletal figure resembling a mermaid, sparking widespread speculation and intrigue. During a routine walk along the coastal line, Paula and Dave Regan encountered an unusual object partially embedded in the sand. Initially, mistaken for driftwood or the remains of a marine animal, closer inspection revealed a skeletal form, which features that bone that bore a striking resemblance to the mythical depiction of a mermaid. The figure possessed a humanoid upper body, a skeletal structure, and a tail that was described as soft and pliable. As news of the discovery spread, photographs emerged, drawing comparisons to the infamous Fiji mermaid, a 19th century hoax constructed from fish and monkey bone that I think I had covered that a while back, actually, that was actually a hoax.
Yeah, I remember
But local residents speculated on its origin, debating whether it was intentional art piece or a remnant of maritime, you know, history. So despite the mysterious nature, local authorities have refrained from issuing statements, thereby fueling further controversy. And the couple's accounts highlights that the enduring allure of mermaid mythology, which has been... See, I got to stop having AI help me write this stuff, man. It's ridiculous. Anyway, yeah, there was a mermaid found. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. And we'll try and get some pictures for you. And I'll link it in the show notes so you guys can see it. I can't lie to you guys. You know, sometimes AI helps, all right? You know, sorry. I gotta...
What can you do?
You know, number one, I'm not getting paid for this show, okay? and number two, I work 80 hours a week. So it's a little difficult. But so now let's get into some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Hey, Grave Diggers, Edgegrave Dave here, and I would like to present to you one of my earlier recordings from the Edgegrave archives when I was still newly digging my fresh little grave. Or maybe it was a big grave. Or maybe I should just stop talking about the grave. What I have for you is Megan, or M3gan, however it's spelled, however you want to say it. Well, here we go. Live from the Edgegrave Archives, we're digging up a review. Here we go. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, fellow grave diggers? Edgegrave Dave here, and I just saw the movie Megan in theaters at the time of this recording. This is a movie that, depending on how you look at it, as it did have a limited run at the end of 2022, had come out theatrically in the United States in the beginning of January 2023. And this is, by the way, a Blumhouse Productions film. You know, I got to tell you, for better or worse, Blumhouse has really taken the horror genre by storm. I mean, we've had movies like Paranormal Activity, Insidious and The Purge, all the way up through Happy Death Day, the newest Halloween films, and The Black Phone. And of course, this movie, Megan, which we are going to discuss. So let's get into it. It was directed by Gerard Johnstone, written with Akilah Cooper and James Wan, actually. And just to talk about James Wan for one moment, you know, as a co-creator of both the Saw and the Insidious franchises, directing Fast and the Furious 7, and also working on DC's both Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom, it's just great to see him return to his horror roots. Now, let's talk about the brilliant young actress, Violet McGraw. I seem to remember her from Ready Player One, which was the first thing that I did see her in. It was just a little uncredited role, but it led to things like Marvel's Black Widow. I do remember her from Dr. Sleep, and now she's doing things like Megan. So I do try to take a great deal of care not to look at too many spoilers when I'm going to see something new, especially as you always don't want to sort of give something away, but it is definitely tough. So I really went into this one cold. And I do also want to mention that before the movie started, man, they gave so much away in that new Ant-Man trailer, but it's kind of like they don't really give you spoilers when you're watching these things. I mean, trailers are sort of spoilers by nature, right? But man, that's changed a lot since back in the day. But what I'm going to do right now is actually warn you. So here's an Edge Grave warning, spoiler alert. So Megan is a PG-13 movie. Being PG-13 doesn't often limit the horror itself, but sometimes it does limit gore. And this is definitely one of those movies where the story really speaks for itself. And I did actually hear rumors that this may be coming out as a streaming unrated version. So that would be really cool. The story starts out actually kind of sad. There's a young girl. She's in a car accident with her parents, and her parents unfortunately do not make it. So she's left to live with her aunt. Her aunt does actually manufacture toys, and she's the scientist behind some of the robotics and things like this. So a little bit different from a Chucky, but ironically not as different as the remake in some respects of Child's Play. Now, that's a whole nother conversation between how MGM owns the rights to Child's Play and Universal does own the rights to both Megan and the entire Chucky franchise. That's not the original Child's Play, but I digress. So all while this is happening, this poor girl is alone and her aunt is so busy with deadlines and all kinds of things happening that she's not really able to take care of her until she has a prototype, which is sort of an android robotic doll called Megan. Man, this thing, I mean, you can almost look at the future written before your very eyes. This is a really advanced robot, and she can do everything from listen to the young girl. She can teach her things. She's like her confidant. She's her friend. But like some other movies, she does become self-aware, and she wants the treatment of this girl all to herself. And if anything stands between her and this girl, they gonna get it in such a very interesting way. There are kills in this movie. There is a deal of sadness. There are emotions. Oh, interesting twists and turns that you don't know exactly how it's gonna go. There's like deadlines. Every kid's got to get one. I mean, that's what all these sort of killer doll movies and robots and everything's all about, right? Everybody has to get one. But when you see this movie, you are going to slowly realize that there is an agenda going on here with Megan, and she's really attached to the girl and anything that comes within plain sight. One of the things that I love about this movie are the special effects. They are bar none some of the best that I've ever seen from an artificial being. And she's just really impressive. The things that this doll can do, I think that the real horror here is really how artificial intelligence could possibly take over mankind. Echoing movies like Terminator, The Matrix. I mean, there's so many other ones if you think about it and you really go back. Even Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, which came out in 2015. The idea's kind of always been there, but the execution really shows that's really what kind of horror is. And for that, that to me is like a realistic horror. Even though that there's a lot of fictitious elements to it and the whole story, I mean, could we possibly live in a world where something like this could happen? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, are we a long way from it? Possibly, possibly not. But that's just something to like kind of think of. You know, it's a very smart movie in that respect. I also love how they did play this song called Toy Soldiers on the piano. That is actually all the way from 1988 from a group called Martika. And I was like, where have I heard the song? And I remember way back in the day that it came on, and I was time traveling back and kind of like thinking like about that song. So that was pretty cool. A personal highlight for me. I just think that it's a really enjoyable experience. You're definitely going to be taken away by the special effects, but it does have a very strong, layered, emotional story. I think that given the length of this movie being under 2 hours, as you know, many horror and thriller movies are, when the end came, I was just like, what? Like, that's it? I mean, I didn't really think that it fell short, but I guess I was just enjoying it so much. And I'm like, oh man, wow. So I was really kind of walking out of that theater saying like, man, like, I can't believe that this is it. Because like, man, when it ramps up, and especially in that last part, I was just excited about that. While there is an absence of gore, I could definitely see how this can fall into the PG-13 space. You know, PG-13 is very different now from how it was many years ago. And there were actually movies back in the day that helped to create PG-13 a thing. Like, I could definitely tell you that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Gremlins and even Back to the Future probably helped to kind of shape that. But a lot of the killings, you know, like they are there. A lot of them are actually off screen, or maybe they're like shown like really quick. But even still, you know, there are some old school rated R movies that I would maybe show my daughter before showing her this one. So there is definitely some caution there, maybe for the realism of the doll and the emotional undertones of the storyline. Another thing that I did want to mention is that as Universal Studios does own the rights to this movie, there's been a lot of comparisons to Chucky, actually, and a couple of people that were like, oh yeah, it's like female Chucky. I'm like, really? Not at all. I mean, the closest thing, as I've said, you know, earlier, maybe the remake of Child's Play, but even then, it's really like a totally different thing. But little did I realize that there's been a fictitious Twitter war going on between Chucky and Megan, of all things, where the two directors have even joked around about even a crossover. I mean, I honestly can't see that happening. I mean, in this age, I mean, I'm sure it would be like a really great cash cow and hey, let's have these two characters cross over. But I just don't see it. But hey, you know, I could be pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised. And I am a huge Chucky fan, by the way. And that, my friends, is a conversation for another day. I rate Megan a definite 4 out of 5 graves. I think you should definitely go and see it, enjoy it. It may or may not be around theatrically when you see it. But as I always say, seeing movies, or viewing movies rather, theatrically is my method of choice. So go ahead, check it out. And back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you so, so much, Edgegrave, for that awesome, awesome review as usual.
Oh yeah, it sounds great, buddy.
Yeah, Megan, man. Megan 2.0 is coming out this year too, so I'm looking forward to that. I actually really enjoyed Megan. You know,
it was a good movie. Definitely was a good movie.
I wanted to show my kids, you know, because my kids are young. I wanted to show them a horror movie, but I didn't want to go straight into, you know, The Exorcist right away, you know, because you know, they need to sleep, you know. So
I'm gonna say keep them up all night. Good idea.
So I originally wanted to start them off with Gremlins, but they refused to watch it for some reason. You know,
really? Because I think that would have been awesome. I think that's a good, man, I never thought of that.
Gremlins is a great starter horror movie, I would think.
I don't know if you really consider it a horror movie, but it's heading in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good starter one for kids, I think. You know, if anybody else has any ideas of good starter horror movies, you know, definitely let us know. Give us a call, 845-600-0744, or you know, leave us a voicemail or give us an email at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. you know, leave us comments or whatever, let us know, because you know, we do have young kids that, you know, we want to, it's not like it was back in the 80s and 90s, man. You know, it's not like it was in the 80s and 90s, you know.
No.
Like
in the 80s and 90s, it was really slaughter.
Yeah. I mean, I used to sit down, you know, in front of the TV and watch Jason, you know, Friday the 13th, part 6 and part 7 and stuff when I was like 10 years old. You know, it's just not really like that anymore, unfortunately. I mean, maybe he'll build tougher kids. Who knows?
Because parents become It's because parents become overprotective of their kids and don't like them seeing things like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's, I mean, obviously, like, it's completely fake. I mean, you know, there's a lot of cool horror movies coming out this year, though. There's a new Final Destination coming out, which I really like the Final Destinations.
Something so. About that.
I really like the Final Destinations, I think, because it's an interesting idea, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I, you know, the thing is, it kind of almost becomes repetitive after a while.
Well, I think that's why they have such crazy ways that people die, you know, because they don't want it to be so repetitive.
Yeah. That's true.
But I'll tell you one thing, Final Destination Part 2, I think anybody that's seen Final Destination Part 2 will never, ever drive behind a logging truck ever again because of that movie.
No.
I know. Every time I see one on the highway, I'm like, nope, 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 nope. And I just go right around it. Like, no, no, not following that guy. I see what could happen.
Oh, you know what actually looks like a pretty good movie that I've been seeing a lot of commercials for? You ever see the commercials for Sinner?
I don't think so.
I think it's a vampire movie. At least that's how I see it. But it seems pretty cool. One guy plays two different, you know, plays himself and his twin brother or something like that. And they go back to an old town. I don't know. I don't know the entire story, but the commercial looks pretty good. And it's kind of, and it's actually rated R instead of PG-13. So.
What do you think? Did you or your daughter or anybody see that newer vampire movie, the Abigail with the little girl? Do you know anything about that? I see it.
Yes.
I don't know if that's for kids.
Clips of it.
I'm not sure if that's for kids. I think it's kind of
so.
No.
No, I've seen clips. It's, you know, quite well. I mean, I guess kids could watch it, but it's not directly a children's horror movie. I mean, it's not like Megan. Mm-hmm. I think because if I'm not mistaken, I think it's also rated R.
Right. Yeah, I think the newer Child's Play or the new is kind of like you could show kids that, I think, the newer Child's Play. I don't think that's terrible.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to be mean to say this.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. No. It was bad, but I think it's a good
start for my lack of better term, but that was a bad movie.
I think it would be good for kids, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's really that bad. It's like it's kind of like Megan because it is like a robot thing too, you know, that goes rogue. You know what I mean? You know, cause it's not, you know, Charles Lee Ray, you know, being inside of the doll, you know, serial killer being inside the doll. It's a robot basically that goes rogue. But yeah, no, Megan was a cool movie. I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was very cool. I think the acting was good too. Great job, Dave. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that awesome review. And he has some more coming up too that look pretty funny too. Pretty good as usual for Edgegrave, you know. And let's get on with this other stuff now, Nat. Kat Dennings, the very voluptuous actress.
Delicious.
She's beautiful, beautiful. Let's just say, you know, she's beautiful. The dark hair and hair and the blue eyes. And
yet we digress.
Anyway, you know, she's known for her roles in Two Broke Girls and WandaVision. She recently opened up about her childhood home in Pennsylvania, a house that was built in the 1600s and officially recognized as a historical site. According to Dennings, the house wasn't just old. It was beautifully and extremely haunted. During a recent appearance on the Jennifer Hudson show, Dennings recounted a chilling yet heartwarming incident involving her mother. The house had a basement with rickety, shallow stairs, the kind of stairs that nightmares are made of, according to Dennings. And one day, her mother tripped and began to fall down the stairs. But instead of hitting the ground, she was stopped mid-air by an unseen force and gently placed back on her feet. The only injury she sustained was minor hurt to her pinky finger from trying to catch herself on the wall. Dennings swears by authenticity of this event, saying, "I have goosebumps thinking about it." She even confirmed the details with her mother, who vividly remembers the incident. The family believe that this act of intervention was the work of a benevolent spirit residing in the home. But the paranormal activity didn't stop there, actually. And Dennings shared other eerie experiences like lights turning on and off, CDs flying off shelves when music was played too loudly, and other classic ghostly phenomena. And despite the spooky occurrences, Dennings described the spirits as nice and admitted that as a child, she didn't mind sharing her home with them. And she stated, I was at the age where I was very open-minded, she said. And now I'd be like, we're selling the house and leaving immediately. So I like that. There used to be a show. What was it called? Celebrity Ghost Stories, I think, where they would have. I really enjoyed that show, you know, where.
Travel Channel.
Yeah. Travel Channel. It doesn't have anything about travel anymore.
I remember.
You know. No,
it doesn't. That's what
I like the haunted stuff too, but sometimes you just want to see a beach, you know? Sometimes you just want to see, you know, a non-haunted beach.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'd rather the haunted stuff.
I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it shows that there are things out there that, you know, they don't want to harm you, you know, not all of them at least. And, you know, maybe there was some nice spirits in there. Maybe it was family member or something that had passed that helped their mom out. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's kind of where I felt like it was heading towards.
Yeah, right. And I thought that was a cool story. So that's why I shared it, sir. And
It had nothing to do with it being kept.
No. I would have. Speaking of, you know, as we're recording this, let's just say a rest in peace to an awesome actor, Val Kilmer, that just passed away. It's real sad, man. Excellent actor. Like, really, really cool actor.
Yeah, it was sad. At first, I thought it was just a prank. You know, I get some of these stupid things on Facebook and Instagram, you know, they're fake, 10 rest in peace, blah, 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 and it never is true.
Yeah. You always have to check it.
But then I started in the news.
You know, it was terrible, man. I mean, that's Iceman, bro. You know, like, we grew up with that guy. You know, Batman. I thought he was a decent Batman. All right, so the Borley Rectory Net is located in Borley, Essex, England. And it was famously known for its history of paranormal activity. It was built in 1862 as a residence of the local church. The rectory quickly gained a reputation for eerie events. These included sightings of a ghostly nun, strange noises like footsteps, slamming doors, whispers, sudden temperature drops, and mysterious orbs appearing in the halls. The first recorded instance of paranormal activity dates back to 1885. When Reverend Harry Ball and his family reportedly witnessed ghostly apparitions and unexplained sounds. The most intense period of haunting occurred between 1928 and 1944, during the time Reverend Guy Smith and his wife resided there. The Borley Rectory attracted the attention of renowned paranormal investigator Harry Price, who conducted extensive research on the property from 1929 to 1944. Additionally, the Society for Psychical Research, SPR, sent several investigators to explore these claims. Although the rectory was demolished in 1944 due to structural damage, the site remains a focal point for paranormal enthusiasts. Visitors to the area have actually continued to report strange phenomena, suggesting that its ghostly legacy still lives on. So if you're in that area in Essex, England, definitely check out the site where the Borley Rectory used to be. All right, Nat. So I think now is the time for some I Read It on Reddit with our buddy, Al.
Oh, Al, I miss Al.
This happened 3 nights ago, and I haven't slept properly since. I'm honestly scared to even stay in my own apartment. It started around 3 o'clock a.m. when Alexa, in the dead silence of my bedroom, whispered, "I see you." I shot up in bed, heart racing. I hadn't said a word. The room was pitch black, and the only light came from Alexa's small, glowing ring, pulsing faintly like it was breathing.
Trying to rationalize, I said out loud, "Alexa, what did you say?" It responded in the same unsettling whisper, "You're not alone." I'm not proud to admit it, but I froze. I couldn't move. The air felt heavy, like someone was standing right next to me, watching. My first thought was that someone hacked the device, but then Alexa said, "It's cold, isn't it?" And as soon as it did, I felt an icy draft brush past my neck. My window was closed. I unplugged the device immediately, but it didn't stop there. The next night, I woke up to faint static coming from the drawer where I stashed it. It wasn't even plugged in. I opened the drawer, and the static turned into soft, rhythmic breathing. Slow, deliberate. And then, a voice whispered, "Don't hide me." I threw it out the next morning, but now strange things are happening without it. Lights flicker, the TV turns on by itself, and at night, I keep hearing faint breathing, but there's never anyone there. I don't know what's happening. Did Alexa bring something into my home? Or was it always here, waiting?
What'd you think of that?
Freaky, cool.
Spooky.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, Al, he definitely is a good talker.
He's a good storyteller, isn't he? Al is
hell
excellent.
Yeah. Al's excellent, man.
Yeah, even he even did those creepy breathing sounds. Things. Yeah. Yeah, that was creepy, man. That was creepy. Al is definitely a good storyteller. But that
boy, am I glad he's part of our show.
That's right. That's right. I pay him peanuts, man. I don't pay him a lot. You know, he just does it out of the goodness of his heart. But yeah, that's right. That's right, Al. Thanks, Al.
Shit.
Edgegrave Dave, I have to pay him in fingernail clippings for some reason. That's what he wants. So I gather them up at the end of the month and I send them over to him. I don't know what he does with them, you know, but I don't ask.
They get paid?
You know,
I don't
ask, you know. But yeah, man.
That's a good thing. Don't ask, you don't know.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
$18.99, and it's all the way from the Boogie Down Bronx. So right here in not right here, but yeah, right in New York City.
Our neighbors.
That's right. It was found in a small store. This is a child spirit with a lot of love and energy. Age and origin are unknown. Angelic, sweet energy, elevation. Scared of extremely loud, unpleasant sounds like a jackhammer. So just be mindful. And it needs a loving spirit family to a good home only. The vessel is uncleansed. Light a white candle, burn some incense, and give a small present to it to welcome it into your home. So, yeah. That's cool because it kind of gives a little bit mm-hmm. of a different thing, you know, because you hear about all these demonic things that are possessing stuff.
So at least it's nice. Sweet.
Yeah, it's a nice, good thing, or so we think, you know.
For now. So let's see if they say something else again at a later time.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. But now we got a different kind. This one is most demonic haunted doll on eBay. 100% authentic, active spirit, buyer beware. And it's going for $650. And this is Haunted Doll Becca. This is one of the most active dolls currently listed to the... By the way, I'm reading the description. I'm not saying it's the most haunted doll, okay? This is one of the most active dolls currently listed to be rehomed and should be only purchased with extreme caution. There are two spirits that reside in this doll. The first spirit is a young, sweet girl named Becca. We believe that she's around 9 or 10 years old. She is very smart, loves hard candy, And likes to hold hands with females. She has communicated with us through the spirit box, and we've heard her during EVP sessions on many occasions. She does not play with other toys, but is most active with us when we give her hard candy. Her favorite is root beer flavored candy. I like root beer flavored candy too. As we've heard her say, it's delicious. As we've heard her say, Rudy beer on EVP. The reason you must take extreme caution is due to the second entity. We know that it portrays itself as a dominant male. He has never given his name, and when asked, he laughs in a devilish deep tone. He has interrupted EVP sessions with Becca and will say, I see you. Well, maybe it's the same thing that was haunting the Alexa. He has attacked two investigators by leaving three scratches. The first investigator was scratched down his forearm with a small portion of the middle scratch deep enough that it bled. The second investigator was scratched down her neck behind the ear, but heard a male voice whisper, I see you, just before. Only she heard the whisper and it was not caught on audio. Of course it wasn't caught on audio.
It never does.
Right? That was one of the things that always got me angry about those ghost shows. Oh my God, did you hear that? And we're like, no, we didn't hear anything, you know? We have had to cover this doll's eyes due to objects that it looked at would be found broken or moved. The covering of the eyes has stopped all broken and moved objects and dramatically slowed down the interactions with the second spirit. After consulting a medium, we have learned that the unknown entity presents itself with a black cloak and a large hood over his head that shadows his face. He or it hides and does not want to be seen. He is very powerful and wants to always be in control. Our medium was not able to make out any details of who or what the unknown entity is. Sure. And we suggest that you leave the doll's eyes covered at all times, as well as take caution when interacting with this doll. So if you're going to spend $650 on a haunted doll, you know, cover its eyes so you don't get any haunted stuff out of it, you know. It'll just be a...
You know, this was quite detailed.
It was, but at the same time, it wasn't. It was detailed, but not really, because they were like, oh yeah, well, we don't know who it is, what it is, or why it's here, but...
The description is quite long, and in my personal opinion, it's just an opinion, it kind of sounded scripted to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. That's all I got for Haunted eBay this week. If you guys wanted to bid on any of this stuff or buy anything from our Haunted eBay segments, just know that we take no responsibility if anything does or does not happen, you know, paranormal wise, and bid and buy at your own risk, you know? So that's going to do it for us. And thank you guys for showing up.
Oh yeah.
And, we have a lot more coming at you soon. I have some more, great interviews lined up, and I'm going to have some more lined up hopefully pretty soon, because I'm going on vacation. It's a staycation. I'm going to be home, but at least I'll be off of work for a little bit. And, I'll be away from the craziness for a little bit, and, you know, maybe get some haunted stuff done. You know what I mean? I'm also, I might've already mentioned this. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in this show, but I'm going to be going on a ghost hunt with the Get Haunted network people on April 12th. It's at the Mid Orange Correctional Facility, which is a New York State correctional facility that had closed about 13 years ago. It closed when my jail that I used to work at had closed around the same time. And but it's supposedly very, very haunted. I had a friend that actually did work there, that went on the ghost tour at one point and said that, you know, some things happened while he was there. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the investigation and meeting everybody from Get Haunted and stuff too. Cause they've been helping us out a lot, man. They've been really, really cool, really, really great. So, you know, thank you everybody. And actually when this is Yeah, yeah, actually, when this is aired, this will be aired on Friday, the 11th, I think. And I'm going on Saturday. So, you know, yeah. So I'll be going, as you hear this, I'll be going tomorrow. So that's pretty cool. What else was I going to say? You could check us out on YouTube. I do TikToks. I put up Instagram stuff. And check out the Get Haunted socials. They're going to be in the show notes, as always. And you can find us there. You can find all other great podcasts there and stuff, too. They do a lot of live stuff. We're the only actually recorded show. Everything else is live video podcasts and stuff. So definitely check them out. They're awesome. The people that run it are awesome. All the hosts are great. And yeah. So with that being said, have a great week, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening, guys. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen. Roger.